Hello, everybody. Welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Now I am joined by actor, producer, writer, Mr. Charles Agron. How's it going, Charles?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Very nice to meet you. And you have a new film coming out here next week called Altered Reality.
Yeah, we're very excited. Altered Realities in theaters February 16th, and it's going out across the country through Regal and AMC and a couple of others. So we're celebrating, we're excited.
And it's going to be in 150 cities.
Well, I'll tell you, it might actually be in more theaters as well. So we're still kind of like figuring out kind of the ins and outs of it. So for an independent going through a an independent company, Case Free Pictures, the progress is phenomenal. So we feel like independents sort of have different voices, and we're very excited that our voice will be heard.
And there's nothing harder than show business of getting anything out there in about 150 cities, right?
Well, it was so funny because I actually had a conversation earlier about this, and someone was asking me, like, is it easier for an independent or harder for an independent, that sort of question, to get into theaters right
Oh, yeah.
now? And it's interesting because there's some big elbows in this industry, and then they're just, they kind of lay claim to certain things, and they really don't want to let you in a lot of times. And I think sort of the landscape has changed a little bit with, with the different streaming platforms, the VOD, different strategies now. And so I think right now, smart independent companies are, probably, able to wiggle in a little bit better than they used to be able to.
I've seen that now with all these, like you said, streaming platforms, that it's now becoming, I won't say easier, but maybe easier at the same time. I know I'm being a little
Well, I think that, the studios sort of they've kind of like rounded out their system right now. So you're getting a lot of superhero films and just sort of the movie number four, movie number five, that type of thing. And it's hard to argue with that strategy that works for them, to say the least. But I think that, the independents have a different style. And they have less strings attached of the stories that they can tell, and we're able to offer a kind of different types of movies. And a lot of times, those are the type of movies that there's still audiences that really want to see them. So it's an exciting time, and I look forward to, kind of continuing to grow, and hopefully the next one is in more theaters. So,
Well, I hope you come to Kansas City, or at least the film is seen in Kansas City.
oh, it's going to be in Kansas City. I wish I could tell you where right now, but I remember Kansas City was there.
Good, good. So you also in the film worked with actually a Kansas City guy himself, Ed Asner.
Oh, Ed, I miss Ed so much.
I miss him
He's
too.
a he's a was a friend. He's an ally. Absolutely incredible man. I've known him for a while, and Ed is a, he's a lot of people kind of wonder if is Ed really like people think he is, and the answer is yes. That man is exactly what you would expect. He can come off as being kind of fierce and curmudgeon-y. But as a friend, he's unbelievable. I mean, he's just an incredible guy, family man, would do anything to try to help you. In Altered Reality, it's so funny because at the time, the world was sort of on its ear, and there was concerns about flying Ed out to Georgia where we were filming. And we actually cast another actor just in case to fill in that role. And the actor did a good job, and I remember getting home, and I'm like, that's not Ed. That's not Ed. Ed wanted to be in the movie. We wanted Ed to be in the movie. And I remember at the time, there were so many rules that it took about over a year to so that we could actually get ramp up production again so that we could get Ed in the movie. And for the rest of my life, I can tell anybody I was in a movie with Ed Asner, which is something I'm very proud of. Incredible man. I miss him deeply. So
He's done my podcast twice, and you guys shared the same publicist, Charles Sherman, as well. So,
well, unfortunately, Charles has probably been the brunt of those arduous days. But I mean, really, when you interviewed Ed, I mean, I can only imagine it was probably incredible. I mean, it's like going down memory lane. I mean, like living legend, the people that he was working with, call him up, oh, I'm grabbing dinner with Harrison Ford. You're like, oh yeah, heard of him, so.
And also here in Kansas City, my uncle got to work with his cousin here in Kansas City. And just a little trivia for you, I guess. But anyways,
Yeah, very cool.
going back to, so talking about you before you got into the whole show business realm of things, you actually were considering law. Is that,
Well, I
yeah.
was a pre-law, pre-med in school, and I guess I was pre-confused. I ended up moving to Washington, D.C. for a while, and I actually worked for a lobbyist group. And it was interesting because I used to working with politicians was memorable for many reasons, but I used to tell people DC is all acting and acting is all and Hollywood's all politics, so it was an interesting relationship between the two. But learned a lot back then, certainly learned a lot, certainly still have interests in sort of the healthcare and the legal and all that kind of stuff, but been very fortunate with the filmmaking career that I've had.
How did that whole thing happen for you? I mean, were your parents like scared for you when you went and chose acting over law or medicine?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm still involved in healthcare to this day. I remember when I was like trying at the time trying to debate do I go to med school, do I go to law school, and I remember sort of putting that pin in it to say, well, maybe we're going to do neither right now, and some of the phone calls were maybe a little more silent than I was used to at the time, but anyways, all's well that ends well, as they say.
So, also something else about the movie Altered Reality. Sorry, my phone went off there. Sorry.
No problem.
About the Spring Manor. There used to be a president that would go visit Spring Manor because I guess that he knew the owner of the family that owned that place at w the one time.
Yeah, I remember. Let me tell you something. That place was wild. I know that it was a beautiful like mansion back in the day, and like when you, I mean, when you walk through that place, it needed to be redone so that a lot of parts of that facility were just still original and genuine and that sort of thing. So some of the rooms look very opulent, but a lot of the rooms were actually reconstructed because of our team, and there was some interesting energy in some of those rooms, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, it was beautiful there, and I don't remember which president it was, but like the grounds and the home were so spectacular. I can only imagine it in its heyday. I mean, it looks amazing in film. I can only imagine back in the day what it would have looked like when it was first built.
You know who the original owners were? I know I'm probably putting you on the spot when I ask that, but
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head. I remember they told me when I was like in Augusta. And let me tell you this, the house was for sale at the time, and I'll tell you, a lot of people that were working on the project were sort of looking around like, kind of thinking about it. And the funny thing is, my director, Don Fauntleroy, who did such a fantastic job, he ended up moving to Georgia. So it's like we come and we did lose somebody to Georgia. But so that was kind of interesting.
did he end up buying the manor himself then?
No, he didn't. He moved outside of Atlanta. That would tell me that would have been a story. So.
Think you all maybe should have put your money together, maybe bought the place
Yeah,
yourself.
well, could have turned it into a studio. I mean,
Yeah.
we filmed there so much. It was, I don't know, beautiful home. I think it eventually did sell, but lots of good memories of it and for it.
Yeah, and so you mentioned a place that it seemed like that a lot of filming is happening now in Georgia, Atlanta, Augusta, or just all of Georgia, pretty much Fayetteville. And would you say that that's where a lot of the movies are now going to start taking place in the future, would you say?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of crews there already, and they have a film office that's very helpful. I've dealt with some different ones that are just like, you make a movie and they're, double, tripling, quadrupling, five times auditing your books, and it's like, no, look, this is how much this cost. I'm not, but in Georgia, they do a lot of things to kind of like get you there and to kind of make things easy, recommend certain, functions or people or vendors to make things easy. And the crews are fantastic right now. I know things have sort of slowed down after the SAG strike, but they're ramping back up. And so it's definitely a film-friendly state, without a doubt.
And I also love another film or the name of it as well. And the winner is not.
Jeffrey Moore. You
Yeah.
know, that film, I was executive producer on that film, and the music was key. And the you know one of the songs qualified for the for an Oscar, an Academy Award, made it to the short list, and we were very hopeful. Unfortunately, we didn't get there, but we tried very hard, and we're proud of our work for doing that.
And also, another one that you had was a Monday at 11:01.
Yeah, you can tell that I have a thing for time. Obviously, altered reality is sort of a you know about sliding doors and so forth. But Monday at 11:01 a.m. was sort of you know a film that sort of bridged me to another level because you know it was edgy. I tried very different things, and you know in terms of like critics and critique and that sort of thing, you know maybe it's not exactly what the kind of higher echelon, you know. Academics would have said, you know, a movie should be, but to the casual person who wanted to see something edgy and different, we really caught on. And I remember at one point we had even that film, I think, went out in 10 cities, and we ended up on the top 10 list. I think it was for, and don't quote me on this, but I think it was Amazon Prime for thrillers. And for, you know, I'm not dealing at the time, I was certainly not dealing with a $100 million budget. So to kind of even get a little bit of notoriety was great news. And obviously that, you know, propelled me to the next project, which propelled me to the next project.
So did 11:01 have any significance, or was it just a time that you happened to have?
Well, for me, I think that, you know, I think time is our one of our greatest gifts. And I think it's something that's really taken for granted. And you know, you look at your clock and it's 11:01, and you're like, oh, you know, I'm bored, I want to take a nap. But in Monday at 11:01, for this character, 11:01 meant everything. And what happens is in Monday at 11:01, you know, my character Michael is, you know, going to a you know weekend trip to the mountains, that sort of thing, fiance, and they go to this bustling, you know, think like Aspen, like just busy, everybody's having a great time, great parties, and then everything's going well, and you know that you know city's packed, and that night something happens that makes them want to you know want to leave the next day, and unfortunately they you know there's excuse after excuse for why you know they can't leave the community, right? There's been an accident, you know, blah blah blah. So they start to realize that you know if you can't get out of the city right now, there seems to be a lot less people in town than there was yesterday. Okay, you know, they're still kind of doing their thing. Something happens again the next night, and the next day, Michael is the only person left in that city. And so that's sort of how I, you know, the degeneration of, you know, of a good time became, you know, something a little bit more nefarious. And so when you realize what 1101 means to Michael, then you know the story.
Sounds interesting. And it's on
Well,
Amazon Prime, you said?
At the time it was on everywhere. I'm not exactly sure where it is right now, but I'm sure if you Google it, it'll tell you how you can see it or where you can see it, that sort of thing.
So, is there anything else I can promote for you, Charles? I know you have Altered Reality coming out next week. I'm sure you're probably going on to the next project, but is there anything else that I can promote for you?
We made a movie called Last Call. It stars John Malkovich and Reese Iffens.
Oh, yes.
Came out, you know, it was supposed to come out in 35 cities. Unfortunately, it came out, was eviscerated by COVID, the distribution. I mean, it was the week it was supposed to hit theaters, two governors said no movie theaters. And it was like, oh, you know, and yeah, listen, it was the time. There was certain levels of hysteria that you couldn't surmount. I recall some funny conversations of asking, you know, telling some of my friends to go see the movie and some of the comments that they made. We were a world on its side at the time, but great movie, dramatic performances, looks beautiful, great film. But yeah, so I appreciate that. But yeah, we're really excited about Altered Reality. It's going to be in theaters February 16th. A great cast. You know, Tobin Bell did a tremendous job. Lance Henriksen, tremendous job. Obviously, Ed, Don Fauntleroy, I think, is a underrated director, even though he's got a million credits, because he does a great job, and I still think that you know his best days still, you know, still are coming as he gets more recognition. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, what was this Ed's last film before he passed?
You know, I've asked the question. And I'm friends with his daughter Liza and Matt, who are going to come to the premiere wonderfully and promote the film. And been involved. I know the Asners do a lot of work for autism, and I've always supported them. I asked them, and they said he has a movie that's coming out in next year. Now, a movie, is someone the last movie is the last movie they acted in, or is it the last movie that they have distributed? I guess it's one of those chicken and the egg questions. But as I see it, I'm just very grateful and lucky that I was able to work with Ed Asner. And, if it was his second to last or whatever, I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
Mr. Lou Grant himself.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, Charles, thank you so much for your time. Good luck on the film, sir.
Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again in the future if it ever comes up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to. Be well, Charles. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.